You know that feeling when you start a brand new job,
Sure.
and for like the first 3 weeks, you're constantly having to ask your coworkers where everything is?
Oh yeah. It's honestly exhausting for everyone involved.
Right. You're sitting there asking, wait, what's our naming convention for this API? Or how do we handle database migrations again?
Yeah, and you feel like a burden. Your team's productivity just takes this, temporary hit while they try to bring you up to speed.
But eventually you learn. I mean, you adapt, you remember. Now, imagine if every single morning you walked into that office and your memory was just completely wiped.
Oh man, that sounds like a nightmare.
You are literally back to day one. Every single day, you have to relearn the naming conventions, the project quirks, the specific way your boss likes their reports formatted.
You'd never actually get any deep work done like that. You'd spend your entire shift just, trying to reestablish a baseline understanding of your environment.
Exactly. And that blank slate problem is exactly what developers are experiencing right now when working with AI agents.
It really is.
You spend hours, like meticulously teaching an AI your specific project quirks, getting it perfectly aligned with your workflow, only to start a new session the next day and realize the AI has completely forgotten everything.
It's incredibly frustrating.
But Wayne McDonald tackles this head-on in a brand new guide published today, May 4, 2026, on popularatools.ai. It's called Claude Code Memory System, the Complete Three-Level Setup Guide.
Yes, and our mission for this deep dive is to explore how developers are actually solving the stateless nature of language models.
Because it is a huge bottleneck.
Oh, absolutely. McDonald outlines a three-level memory architecture that basically turns a forgetful AI into a deeply contextual, continuously improving assistant. And the brilliant part is how it manages to do this without overwhelming the AI's context window.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to solve the memory wipe problem, we really have to start at the absolute foundation. Like, what is actually happening the second you open your terminal and type your first prompt?
Right.
We hear context window a lot, but how does it actually function in practice?
Well, language models, by design, are stateless. A great way to think about the context window, which is the AI's active memory for your current conversation, is like juggling.
Juggling. Okay, I like that.
Yeah, so an LLM has a finite capacity. It can keep maybe, say, 10 balls in the air at once. The moment you toss it an 11th ball, which represents a new instruction or like a new file to read.
It has to drop the oldest one to keep juggling.
Exactly. And the moment you close the session, all the balls drop. It has no episodic memory of what happened yesterday. It doesn't know you spent 3 hours debugging a specific framework.
So it's just gone.
Completely gone. Without a deliberate engineered architecture to hand those specific balls back to the AI when it needs them, you are fundamentally doomed to repeat your instructions ad nauseum.
And that brings us to the first layer of defense against dropping those balls, which is level one, short-term memory.
Right.
The guide explains that this relies on two things, CLID.md files and auto memory. I'm picturing level one is like slapping sticky notes directly on your monitor.
That's a really good way to visualize it.
It's highly visible, immediate standing orders. Things like, we always use two-space indentation, or, here's the exact build command for this project. It loads automatically at the start of every single session.
It does, yeah.
But I have to push back here for a second. If I have to load a massive document of rules into the AI every single time I start a session, won't that just burn through my context window before I even type a prompt?
That's the trap.
Am I not just forcing the AI to drop balls immediately?
You are, and that is the exact trap most developers fall into. If you dump your entire company handbook into level one, you suffocate the AI right out of the gate.
Which defeats the whole purpose.
Exactly. That's why the golden rule for McDonald's guide is incredibly strict.
Right.
You have to keep it under 200 lines, period. The brilliance of level one isn't about dumping everything in there, it's about intelligent scoping.
So how does that scoping actually work in practice?
Well, the system allows you to cascade your instructions. Think of it like a set of filters. You can have a managed policy scope for organization-wide security rules, a project scope for team standards, and a local scope for your own personal preferences.
And those local ones never get pushed to the team repository, right?
Right, exactly. They're just for you.
Wait, so if I have a local personal rule that contradicts a company-wide rule, which one wins?
The local rule wins.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they cascade. The most specific files are read last and they override the broader ones. But the real context saver here is the use of path scoped rules inside a .claude rules directory.
Path scoped. Okay, break that down for me.
Let's say you're working in a massive monorepo, which is basically one giant master folder holding every single distinct project your company makes. You can set it up so that your complex React front-end conventions only load into the AI's memory when it is actively touching .tsx files.
Which is the standard file type for front-end code.
Exactly. If you are working on the back-end database today, those front-end rules never load. You waste zero context.
Oh, wow. So it's only giving the AI the sticky notes it actually needs for the specific desk it's sitting at today.
Perfectly said.
And the other half of level one is just as cool, which is auto memory. Quad actually takes its own notes.
It does, and this is huge.
The guide points out that if you are working and you correct the AI, so you tell it, hey, no, we use PNPM in this project, not NPM, the system automatically saves that correction to a memory.md file in the background.
Right. It is literally learning your preferences in real time.
Because that memory.md index file is loaded at the start of the next session, you never have to make that specific correction again.
Never again. The agent is quietly observing your habits and writing its own operational manual for how to work with you.
I desperately need to audit this auto memory. Because right now my AI probably thinks I love writing in PHP just because I spent one agonizing weekend helping a friend fix a WordPress site back in 2024.
Oh no, it definitely thinks you're a PHP dev now.
I need to pull that weed out of its brain immediately. But wait, 200 lines of sticky notes is practically nothing.
True.
If I'm building a massive application, I have brand guidelines, complex database schemas, pages of API documentation. If I put all of that in level one, I break the golden rule and suffocate the AI. So where does all that broader knowledge go?
Well, that limitation is exactly what necessitates level two, the midterm memory. This is where the architecture shifts from automatically pushing information to the AI to letting the AI pull information only when it realizes it needs it.
Ah, okay. Push versus pull.
Yes. And the guide highly recommends using an Obsidian vault for this layer. Obsidian is a free, entirely local, plain markdown tool that a lot of developers already use for, you know, personal knowledge management.
Here's where it gets really interesting. If level one is the sticky notes on your monitor, level two is like having a massive reference library right next to your desk.
Yes, exactly.
You don't walk into your office and read every single book in your library every morning. You only reach for a specific book when you actually need it to solve the problem directly in front of you.
That's the perfect analogy. And if we connect this to the bigger picture of context token efficiency, this is where the entire system shines.
How so?
You connect your Obsidian vault to Claude code by creating a symlink. A symlink is essentially a shortcut folder that tricks the AI into thinking your entire Obsidian vault is located right there inside your active project folder.
Oh, that's clever.
Right. Claude gets read access to your entire knowledge base. But crucially, it only reads those markdown files on demand.
Wait, so I could have a vault with 500 deeply detailed files about my infrastructure, my design systems, my deployment quirks, and it costs me zero tokens.
Zero tokens. It costs absolutely nothing until Claude is working on a problem, searches its available directories by file name, and decides, I need to open and read the deployment checklist to proceed.
That is wild.
Because it's all plain markdown text, you don't need any complex plugins or API keys to make it work. It just browses the file tree naturally.
Let's walk through a real-world scenario to show how powerful this is, specifically using what the article calls the self-improving learnings loop.
Oh, this is my favorite part.
Say I spend 3 agonizing hours on a Tuesday fighting a caching bug in Next.js. I deploy my code, but the old version keeps showing up because the CDN isn't clearing properly.
We've all been there.
Quad and I finally figure out a weird, specific command to force clear the cache for my specific hosting provider.
Right, and without level two, when you hit that exact same caching issue 3 months later, you and Claude have to spend another 3 hours re-diagnosing the problem from scratch.
Exactly. But with the learnings loop, I set up my instructions so that after every significant work session, Claude automatically appends a summary of what worked and what failed into a specific learnings.md file in my Obsidian vault.
Yes.
It writes down, Next.js caching bug solved using this specific force clear command.
What's fascinating here is the compound effect. We are moving away from static tools and toward dynamic agents.
Dynamic agents, yeah.
Agents that accumulate structured memory across runs. They compound their effectiveness over time. agents that do not accumulate memory just plateau.
They just stay at day one.
Exactly. Without this loop, an AI will never be more useful to you on day 100 than it was on day one, but an agent utilizing a learnings.md file. By day 100, it has internalized your deployment failures, your structural preferences, the weird nuances of your specific tech stack.
It's actually accumulating experience.
Yes, and it can search that file the next time it encounters a caching issue.
Okay, but let me poke a hole in this library setup for a second.
Go for it.
A library works incredibly well because books have titles, and Claude navigates that level 2 Obsidian vault by file name. What happens a year from now? My vault has 3,000 files in it, and the crucial lesson I need to solve a bug is buried deep inside a file named something obscure, like 2026-02-webhook-retry.md.
Right, I see where you're going.
If Claude is trying to fix a generic payment failure, it might not even think to search for the specific word stripe or webhook. It just won't find the book.
And that exact failure point when your knowledge base scales beyond the utility of simple file names is why level 3 exists.
Okay, level 3.
Level 3 is the deep archive, or long-term memory. To solve this, McDonald introduces a Pinecone vector database connected to Claude via an MCP server.
Okay, MCP server, vector database. We're officially getting into the heavy machinery here.
We are, yeah.
Let's break those down because they sound incredibly intimidating.
They do sound complex, but the underlying concepts solve a very human problem. Let's start with MCP, which stands for Model Context Protocol. Think of it as a universal translator plugin.
A universal translator.
Exactly. It's the bridge that lets Claude safely reach out of its isolated chat window and talk to an external tool like a database, asking it questions and receiving data back.
Okay, so the MCP is the bridge. What is the vector database doing on the other side of that bridge?
So when you search your computer for a file, you are doing a keyword search. You type the word retry, and your computer literally looks for the letters R-E-T-R-Y.
Right.
If your document says attempt payment again, you will not find it because the exact letters aren't there. A vector database like Pinecone works entirely differently. It takes your sentences and turns them into coordinates on a massive, high-dimensional map.
Wait, so it's translating language into geography?
Precisely. It encodes the underlying meaning. Words and concepts with similar semantic meanings like stripe, payment failure, and credit card error are placed in the exact same neighborhood on that map.
That makes so much sense.
So when Claude queries level 3 through the MCP bridge, it's not searching for keywords. It's doing a semantic search. It's essentially asking, what do I know about handling payment failures?
And the database looks at that neighborhood.
Yes. The database looks at that specific neighborhood on the map and returns that crucial paragraph from your Stripe webhook file, even if the words retry or payment are never explicitly used in that paragraph.
It's searching by concept, not by spelling.
Exactly.
That is undeniably powerful. But I have to put myself in the shoes of someone listening to this who just wants to build, like, a simple web app for a local business.
Sure.
Do I really need to go set up a vector database, configure an MCP server, and write a custom Python ingestion script to chunk my documents just to get some coding done? That sounds incredibly complex and, frankly, a bit like procrastination disguised as productivity.
I get that completely. And it is entirely possible to over-engineer this, which is why Wayne McDonald is very explicit in the guide about the 80-20 rule.
Okay, what's the rule here?
His direct resolution to that exact concern is do not start with level 3, start with Obsidian. For a developer working on 1 to 3 projects, level 1 and level 2 just mark down files, and a local Obsidian vault will provide 80% of the value with only 20% of the complexity.
Basically, don't build a massive automated warehouse when a simple filing cabinet next to your desk works perfectly fine.
Exactly. You need Pinecone when the scale of your information exceeds your ability to organize it by simple folders and file names.
Like at an enterprise level.
Right. If you are trying to search across millions of lines of code, or a multi-project organization, or if you want the AI to perfectly recall a specific architectural debate you had in a chat transcript 6 months ago, you need a vector database.
Makes sense.
Pinecone has a free tier of 100,000 vectors, which is huge, but the setup time is significantly higher. You write an Obsidian for your daily wiki, and eventually, if you need to, you pipe that into Pinecone purely as a semantic search index.
Okay, so now that we understand how these three tiers fit together, level 1 for immediate working memory, level 2 for the on-demand knowledge base, and level 3 for the massive deep archive, we have to talk about maintenance.
Maintenance is crucial.
Because this system is only as good as the human habits supporting it. The source lays out some fantastic, actionable best practices, starting with how you actually write the instructions in your level 1 PhilDD.md file.
Yes, the key phrase McDonald uses is verifiable instructions.
Yes, that stood out to me. If you write format code properly, the AI has to guess what properly means to you on any given Tuesday.
Which is dangerous.
Exactly. It's vague guidance, which means you get creative, unpredictable interpretations. But if you write, use two-space indentation, that is a verifiable fact. The AI either did it or it didn't. You have to be specific to get specific results.
And equally important is routine maintenance. Remember that otter memory feature we discussed?
The background note-taking.
Right, where Claude writes its own notes about your preferences into memory.md, you have to audit that. The guide recommends running the memory command monthly.
Monthly, okay.
You need to review what the AI has decided is important, delete notes that are outdated, and correct false assumptions. As McDonald puts it, stale memory is worse than no memory.
Wow.
If the AI thinks you still use a framework you abandoned 3 months ago, it's going to actively introduce errors into your current work.
It's like tending a garden. You have to pull the weeds out of its brain, like my PHP WordPress disaster. Yeah. And speaking of weeds, that learnings.md file from level 2 can get out of control very quickly. If you append every single minor thought or solved bug to it, suddenly you have a 2,000-line document that just slows the AI down every time it tries to read it.
It becomes a bottleneck.
The tip here is to consolidate it weekly. Keep the active learnings file under 300 lines, summarize the older stuff into broader principles, and archive the hyper-specific edge cases.
There is also a very practical physical limitation to keep in mind here, which is portability. Auto memory, that background observation the AI does to learn your habits, is machine local. The directory it saves to does not magically sync to the cloud on its own.
So if you spend all week working on your laptop at a coffee shop, your AI is getting really smart, really attuned to your workflow. But if you go home and boot up your desktop PC, that AI is back to a blank slate.
Yes, you have to carry the brain with you.
How do you do that?
The guide suggests using a syncing tool like SyncThing, or even keeping your coding environment on a physical USB drive to ensure your AI's memory physically travels with you across devices.
So what does this all mean? If you step back from the terminal commands, the vector embeddings, and the markdown files, the real takeaway here for you, listening right now, whether you're prepping for a major tech sprint or just managing a side project on the weekends, is a fundamental shift in our relationship with these tools.
It really is a shift.
We are moving from treating AI as a disposable calculator where you punch in a formula, get an answer, and throw the receipt away, to treating it like an evolving colleague. A colleague that learns from its mistakes, remembers your preferences, and actually gets better at its job the longer you work together.
That is the real paradigm shift. The memory stack isn't just a technical workaround for a context window limitation. It is the bridge between a neat parlor trick and a truly persistent digital collaborator.
To quickly recap the journey we took today, we looked at level 1, your immediate standing orders and paths coach rules using clan-dyed MD.
Right.
Perfect for keeping those juggling balls in the air session to session. We scaled up to level 2, your midterm on-demand knowledge vault built in Obsidian, bringing in that vital self-improving learnings loop. And finally, for the truly massive scale, we explored level 3 using a Pinecone vector database and an MCP server to grant the AI long-term semantic search across thousands of documents.
This raises an important question, though.
Oh, like that.
We talked about how at level 1, auto memory allows Claude to quietly observe your corrections, take notes on your edge cases, and document your preferred workflows.
Yeah.
Over time, as this memory architecture accumulates hundreds of sessions worth of data about how you specifically tackle problems, at what point does the AI's local file system contain a more accurate, objective understanding of your unique coding style than you do?
Oh, wow. I hadn't thought about it that way.
We all have blind spots. We all have logical fallacies we fall back on, or architectures we overuse simply because they're comfortable. If the AI is meticulously documenting everything that works and everything that fails in your specific process, could this very setup eventually be inverted? Could you query your own level 3 deep archive, not to solve a code bug, but to ask the AI to teach you about your own professional blind spots?
The idea that the sticky notes you are leaving for the AI might eventually become the mirror the AI holds up to you is a completely different way to look at the blank slate. Well, thank you for taking this deep dive with us today. As you head back to whatever you're building, take a second to think about what you would write on your own level 1 sticky note.
Mm-hmm.
What is the one rule you are tired of repeating? Write it down, put it in the system, and let the machine do the remembering for a change. Have a great day.